And welcome to the Nate Taylor Show. Jay Binkley. Not with Nate Taylor. He's on a little flight. You know how things work. He's flying back from Vegas. A little bit delayed. He will check in with us, though, on his show. And as always, with me, Nick Price. Good evening, Nicholas.
Hey, good evening, Bank. Yeah, Nate's not tardy out of Vegas for the reasons that I usually am when I go.
It's the airlines, man. Yeah, you can't count on them.
Nothing you can do about it, right?
I mean, a lot of times these people are camping out. At least they could do is get them Whataburger things or something like go get them, right? If they want to wait 5 hours and at least some, bring one back. Anyway, Chiefs 41-14 win over the Raiders yesterday. And it's like a big exhale with the Chiefs, this town, the temperament, the pulse of the people of Kansas City getting that win over the Raiders. I don't know if you've seen the meme going around, Nick. I heard the productions, whatever it is. They did a great job. It's Guess Who's Back, Guess Who's Back. It has like Michael Irvin and others and Dan Orlovsky, you know, and Ryan Clark saying Mahomes is broken, Mahomes is broken. Then it has Mahomes raising his arms in the air, 400 yards and 5 touchdowns against the 5th best pass defense in the NFL, the Raiders. They had the 10th best defense overall against the National Football League whenever they played. But the Chiefs asserted themselves, and they still didn't play perfect. That's as close to perfect as they played this year. I'll give them that, but you still had the fumble, the Mike Hughes fumble. Still had a missed touchdown pass there in the first quarter. Still missed the field goal. So there were some things. I feel like I'm cherry picking, though. I feel like I'm cherry picking with those small things, although I wrote them down because at that point in the game, I was like, man, I hope this doesn't come back and bite them. Because until Rashad Fenton, who, by the way, is Pro Football Focus's number one corner in the National Football League, causes that fumble on DeSean Jackson. I don't know where the hell he was running. But regardless, he did. The Raiders could have come down there and made that a game.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And we're going to nitpick a little bit because everything with the Chiefs this year has seemed to go the wrong way. I mean, not everything. They're 6-4 now and in first place in the AFC West. But, you know, the past few weeks, it seems like everything that could go wrong has gone wrong, but they were able to bounce back from, you know, the Hughes fumble and a couple missed opportunities and really make some big plays on all three sides of the football. So overall, I mean, you got to be coming out of this game thinking Chiefs are back.
It felt good. I mean, just the temperament of the city. You know, people felt good today. Not saying you ride or die with the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday, but I don't know, do you? I mean, you notice a difference from people when the Chiefs get beat down? I mean, going to work after that Buffalo game or going to work after the Tennessee game, you had a lot of questions, right, Nick? I mean, you probably heard it from your friends that like sports and everything. Well, what's Andy Reid doing? What's he doing? What's he doing? Is Mahomes okay? Is he broken? That was the common sentiment amongst Chiefs fans.
And it's so funny how things can turn with just one great game. You know, you see a vintage Mahomes performance thrown for over 400 yards, 5 touchdowns. And going out and just routing a division rival like that and the Raiders, doing what you always do, which is owning the Raiders and owning AFC West teams, especially on the road for Mahomes in his career. So, you know, it's pretty crazy how much of a 180 the fan base has seemed already done just from, you know, this time yesterday to where we are right now.
I notice a big difference. I mean, this town, you know, the old argument, baseball, football town, Listen, maybe the 80s, it was baseball town. The 90s and 2000 through basically, except for 2014 and 15, this has been a football town. I mean, people go and they wear their emotions on their sleeve for the Kansas City Chiefs, what they did over the weekend. And the expectations in this town are really high. The shock of Kansas City Chiefs being as down as they were, the fact they were in last place. And teams like the Broncos and the Chargers fans, the Raiders fans, they wanted you to know, too. They wanted you to know the Chiefs were in last place. Like, they wanted you to know they were there. But you know what? The Chiefs heard the noise. The Chiefs heard the noise. And then, boom, Sunday Night Football, the Raiders are in first place. But last week was brutal. And we'll get to it in a minute because Carrington Harrison asked Patrick Mahomes today when he joins him each and every Monday at 2:15 exclusively. He asked about that. Do you hear the outside noise? Are you hearing the outside noise? But the one good thing I heard last night, and I like this, I like when they have this feeling once again. We saw Travis Kelce, you know, after the game, talking about getting his swagger back on ESPN. Remember that?
Something tells me I got my swagger back.
Oh, baby. They were having fun. That's the Chiefs I like. That's the Chiefs we all like. That's the Chiefs we know. The team that goes out there, scores touchdowns, puts up a lot of points, that's the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, after the game, had this to say about getting that swagger back.
Shane Buechele came up to me and showed me this video with this kid, and he was saying, I got my swagger back. And so that was something that was kind of my like motto this week. And I think the whole team kind of got that swag back, and we're going to try to keep that thing rolling.
So Shane Buechele, props to him, showing the video, right? Here's the practice squad quarterback, who, by the way, is protected each and every week because they have the ability to do that NFL team, so he didn't get poached by another team. But he says, Mahomes says, the swagger's back. Travis Kelce, as I said, he says he's got the swagger back. They played like they had the swagger back, 100%. But honestly, I think the fans got it too. I think fans got a little bit of that swagger back too. I mean, Twitter was, and again, Twitter's not the end-all be-all of everything, but it got pretty brutal for the Chiefs. With Chiefs fans, you know, responding to other fan bases, Chiefs fans themselves melting down on the Chiefs or what's going on. I've had people call the postgame show, Nick, and they ask me, is Andy Reid over his head? Andy Reid is now fifth all-time coaching victories. He just passed Curly Lambeau. He was tied with him. He passed him yesterday. He's fine. I had a caller call about Mahomes being overrated. I was like, you kidding me, man? This led the postgame after the Packers game. Even though they won the game, that led it because of the commercials and everything. It's like, he does those in the summer. I said, he's 26 years old. By the time he was 25, he already had a Super Bowl, two appearances. Every season he's had has ended in the AFC title game or the Super Bowl. He's won an MVP, did all this before 25 years old. And I said, all right, give me the full list of every other quarterback that's done that. Time's yours. Couldn't do it because he's the only one that's done it. It was unbelievable. But as you said earlier, Nick, his road conference record, and this from ESPN Stats and Info, Patrick Mahomes now 11-0 in road division games. Think about that.
Man.
Division games are supposed to be tough anyway, and I know this division's been down before, but it's the NFL. Bad teams beat good teams all the time. Ask the Buffalo Bills about Jacksonville. Ask the Titans about the Jets. Ask the Cowboys about the freaking Denver Broncos. Bad teams do stand up from time to time. The Chiefs have ran into this once with the Raiders. Raiders are 0-10, Chiefs were 7-3, going back in 2014. Derailed the season. They didn't make the playoffs. The 1 year Andy Reid didn't make the playoffs with the Chiefs. But think about that, 11-0 in road games in the division in his career. Only Joe Montana that had 20 straight and Peyton Manning with 12 straight had longer road division win streaks since the 1970 merger. That's not at the beginning of Manning's career. He just did it, you know, later on. But that's that's how good he is on the road. Where Andy Reid is 32-6 against this division. I was making a big deal of it last week. Hey, five of the next eight games are against the division. It's important to me because Andy Reid at that point was 31-6 against this division since 2015. Hell, the Broncos haven't beat the Chiefs since Peyton Manning in 2015. He's already in the Hall of Fame. He's already to the Manning cast. That's the last quarterback for the Broncos to beat the Chiefs. I mean, it's unbelievable. They've won 14 out of 17 now against the Raiders. They own this division. Yes, the Chargers got them earlier this year, and they got them last year because of the JV game, the Chiefs resting their starters when the Chargers got the win. But I'm taking the team that's been there and done that. They hit five straight division titles. And I was besides myself watching the Raiders-Chargers game earlier on Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian Greasy was just bloviating about the Messiah, Justin Herbert, and how the division goes through him. It's like, man, not to borrow a phrase from Lee Corso, but not so fast, my friend.
Yeah.
He hasn't done anything yet. He has not peed a drop yet. Mahomes has. He's won a Super Bowl. He has got the benefit of the doubt. He has earned the benefit of the doubt with this football team.
Well, and now the Chiefs are in the driver's seat.
They're in the driver's seat. Again, seven games remaining for the Kansas City Chiefs. They're at 10 now. They still got the bye week coming up, which I think is in a great position after the Cowboys.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
If you beat the Cowboys, this game is huge for the Chiefs. Obviously, it's not an AFC game, so whatever. But it is the Preston Road Trophy, by the way. That's the where Jerry Jones and Lamar Hunt used to live down there in Dallas. And they call it the Preston Road Trophy. But it's a good football team. They'll give you, you know, cred beating the Dallas Cowboys. But then you have the bye, and then the Denver Broncos. And then it sets up with an AFC West bonanza for the rest of the year. Four of the next seven against this division. You get the Cowboys out of the way, and it's four of the next six against this division that Andy Reid has basically staked ownership on.
Yeah, and like you said, too, like the division games obviously are going to be a little bit more important when it comes to the end of the season and where this team falls when it comes to playoff seeding or anything like that. But the Cowboys are playing some really good football right now, and they're one of the strongest teams in the NFL.
Mm. I disagree only because they cost me in Survivor.
Okay, all right, so you got a grudge.
Was back the Broncos. Yeah. The Broncos hammered them.
Yeah.
And that, I didn't understand that. It was one of those weird things in the National Football League. So, yes, I'm with you usually on Dallas. Dallas is a good team.
Right.
I cannot explain what happened to the Denver Broncos last week with the Cowboys.
Right. But if the Chiefs
besides
are able
that,
to.
They're good.
Right. And besides, you know, you losing the Survivor pool on that particular game and everything, Cowboys are a good football team. If they come into Arrowhead and the Chiefs can put up a performance like they did last night against the Las Vegas Raiders, and they just go out and they put up 40 points and they end up winning that, they're 7-4 rolling into the bye. I mean, you opened the show talking about that swagger being back, Bank. I think it would be all the way back at that point.
The swagger. I mean, it's not just the players.
Something tells me I got my swagger back.
It's Travis Kelce on ESPN after the game. I mean, I felt like this was the fans, too.
Yeah.
You know, they're walking out. The chest stuck out a little bit. Definitely their keyboard warriors on Twitter when it comes to this. They're hammering Ryan Clark. They're hammering Ryan Clark. And Cole Mahomes broken. Hammering him. That's what you get. I mean, it's... If you criticize the Chief nationally, this is probably what's going to happen if things turn around and go the right direction for the Kansas City Chiefs. But love the game last night for the Chiefs. I thought it was a well-called game. Special teams, yeah, you did have a fumble. You had the missed field goal. But it, as far as offense and defense, two of the three factors in this game I thought really worked for the Kansas City Chiefs. Andy Reid even mentioned them. Today during his press conference.
All in all, I thought the coordinators did a nice job. Eric had a nice plan offensively, and Spags had a nice plan defensively, and Dave had a nice plan. And their coaches all did a good job. So all in all, a good night against a skilled football team.
And this is where there was a good special teams play, which they deserve credit for, the Tommy Townsend fake punt. 4th and 7, throws a dart, man.
He throws a beautiful ball, doesn't he? He really does. For like a punter.
Like, I was listening to him on Cody and Gold last week. Like, he was talking about the arm.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't know we'd get to see the arm, but he just drilled it tomorrow. I mean, it's perfect. It wasn't like a floater like you typically see from a kicker. I mean, Tommy's been holding that back.
Or Derek Carr.
He threw it better than Derek Carr.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a perfect strike. And again, that's coaching, though. That is Dave Tobe watching film, noticing how the Raiders were playing the punt earlier in the game. Hey, they're playing back, or they typically do, and they'll be going back. So I think we'll get this. We'll get this, and they did. I mean, that was a ballsy call.
That's part of that
fourth
swagger.
4th and 7 where they were, but that's coaching.
Right? Isn't that part of that swagger kind of leaking out to the rest of the team, too, when, you know, when things are rolling and you're
coaching,
like, hey.
Coaching swagger?
We could, yeah, a little coaching swagger from Dave Tobe here. He's like, hey, we could get this right here, and we could really put it on him.
Well, hey, you might be.
You know?
It might be, but Mahomes and the Badger and Butker were the captains. Carrington asked Patrick Mahomes earlier today that you guys seemed all about business.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we understand the importance of this game. I mean, we were playing the Raiders, who've been playing great football this season. They were in first place, really, in the AFC West. And we knew that we needed to come in and get a win. It was a kind of a pivotal game for us, and we understand the importance of it. And I think Coach Reed kind of emphasized that early in the week. And guys came with the mindset of we're going to handle business.
Chiefs fans ready for business. Losing that game, we'd have a completely different show tonight and a different perception going 0-2 in the division.
I'm really glad that we're having this kind of show.
Yes.
Yes.
100%. I was worried about it. I'm going to be going until 2 o'clock in the morning last night. What's it going to be? It's going to be good or bad. Flip a coin. What's it going to be? He went the right direction. Chiefs are in first place. Feels good.
Much better drive home.
Feels good to have the swagger back. So we'll talk about the Chiefs offense. By the way, Nate Taylor will be joining us at a time when he gets a place at the airport to give us a call. Trying to make his way back from Sin City, baby. And I knew this, man. Wait till the media gets a taste of Las Vegas. It's going to be hard to get him out of there. We're finding that out tonight with Nate Taylor. We talk about Chiefs offense next.
You're listening to The Nate Taylor Show, Monday nights at 7 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
What have we done with Patrick Mahomes? Where is he and what has happened to him?
He's broken. Patrick Mahomes is broken.
and he's broken because he's the same as he's always been, but that's no longer good enough. It's time for Patrick Mahomes to pivot. It's time for Patrick Mahomes to play football in a different way. But sometimes when you've been so successful doing one thing, it's hard to do another. And they're asking the entire Kansas City Chiefs offense to do this. They're saying become a running football team. Yeah. Be committed to that. They're saying take the checkdowns. Be committed to that. They're saying, you know what? You will not have the big play against us, so we're going to make you earn every blade of grass, and we believe you'll make a mistake. And that's what's been happening. This is a boring offense that refuses to be boring to win football.
Freezing cold take there by Ryan Clark.
Woof.
Former NFL player and on Get Up on ESPN. Freezing cold take from last week. Yes, Patrick Mahomes hears everything. People tell him, hey, man, did you see this? Hey, did you see this? People always show me. You've seen the memes and stuff with, you know, Patrick showing Travis something on the phone or whatever. They have fun with it. They see it. Welcome back to the Nate Taylor Show. We'll be joined by Nate in a few minutes. His plane should have landed a few minutes ago. Nate will be giving us a call because this is, well, it's the Nate Taylor Show, Jay Binkley, with Nick Price producing the operation. So that was Ryan Clark. That was the whole sentiment the last couple of weeks because he did look off. I called it more of a slump, all right? More of a slump. A slump with the offense because, guess what, historically, this offense was number two all-time going into the Tennessee game, right? They were averaging over 3 points per drive, 3.07 points per drive, second in NFL history. So I knew it was there. I knew it was there, but they had gone through a little bit of a slump. Just like this defense was slumping earlier this year, now it's playing well. Same thing as you could say about the 2019 Chiefs that, by the way, were 6-4 themselves like this current team, except for week 9, the Mexico City game against the Chargers. 312 yards of offense in the first half by the Chargers, 112 afterwards. Light bulb came on. They made the switch, and they never looked back. Mahomes was on with Carrington Harrison earlier today, and I thought this was a really good question. He asked Patrick, you know, do you hear the noise and how much does it motivate you?
Yeah, I mean, you'd be lying to say you don't hear any of it. I mean, I try to stay focused on what's in this building and the guys in this building getting better for myself. But you see stuff here and there on social media or whatever it is. But you can't let that stuff affect you, I think, at the end of the day. I mean, you have to just focus on how can you make yourself better? How can you be better for your team? And that's what I've been focused on. And I knew that we were going to get this thing rolling again.
Do you use that as motivation when you hear those sort of things? Like, you're on social media, you're a pretty aware individual. When someone questions your ability, do you use that as motivation?
I don't. I mean, I think in this league, you can never be too high, you never can be too low. I mean, there's going to be people that will praise you in times like now. There'll be people that criticize you whenever things aren't going good. So if you just kind of stay with the process, stay on trying to make yourself better every single day, I think that's where you can be great as the season goes on. And that's something that I've had to learn as I've been in this league is whenever there's highs, whenever there's lows, you have to kind of keep that same mindset.
So that was him ask if he ever hears the noise. You know he does, though, Nick. Remember in Chicago when he's counting down to where he was in the NFL top 100? He knows or where he was drafted the year of Mitch Trubisky. He knows these things, and he remembers them because, well, he has friends and people tell him, and he checks it out too. He's very
– I mean, it's impossible not to hear it, right?
He's very apt at social media. Let's put it this way. It's a new age player. They're more in tune with social media. So is Patrick Mahomes. He's well aware of everything in his surroundings. And he's going to focus on it, just like the Whataburger, right? He was responsible for Whataburger coming to Kansas City. As you're probably in line right now out in Lee's Summit, probably on a four-hour wait in your car for a burger, because Mahomes, what a great day to celebrate Whataburger by Patrick Mahomes' day yesterday.
And listening to 610 Sports Radio the entire time, too, because we got a loaded slate on Monday nights. But
oh, we do. It's Dusty Likens' Red Reaction coming up next. We had Mitch Holtis on just a few minutes ago. Big Red out and Bobby Bell. Joined him out there at Hy-Vee. It was good stuff. But the whole thing with Ryan Clark saying that, then Dan Orlovsky was saying it's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league right now with his mechanics.
Right. Isn't that what they said when he came out college?
You know, they did. Because Texas Tech.
Right.
NFL teams were afraid to grab a quarterback like that. They were afraid to grab a quarterback that freewheeled like he did at Texas Tech with Cliff Kingsbury. Kingsbury was not good at Tech. He wasn't. Because he could never find a defensive coordinator. That was the big problem with Texas Tech. They scored a lot of points, but they were 128th out of 128 teams in scoring defense. In actuality, Mahomes was perfect for the National Football League because this guy had the pressure to score every time he was on the field. Do you remember 2018? Do you remember what he walked into here in Kansas City? Very similar to Texas Tech.
Right. And I think that I think it's kind of funny, too, because I know Mahomes is going to say, yeah, I don't pay attention to that stuff. But me and Dusty, we always talk about it. We, like everybody else, we watched The Last Dance last summer when that came out and learning all about, like, Michael Jordan and those Bulls teams. And Jordan kind of did the same thing. He would find ways to motivate himself. And I see Patrick doing a little bit of that, too. You know, I don't know if he's necessarily listening to people and saying and really taking it too seriously, but he definitely is one of those guys that likes to go out there and, you know, silence the haters a little bit. And he definitely did that last night.
Yeah, no question. And you have to wonder, like, I was wondering before the season started, what's going to motivate the Chiefs? Like, you're already that good. You're already the Vegas favorite to get back to the Super Bowl. You've won the division five straight times. What's the carrot on the stick? What are you chasing? What is that one intangible thing that you can't get to as a team? What are you trying to get to? Repeat? Okay. But it's tough to repeat, man. Ask the Buccaneers and Tom Brady getting hammered yesterday at Washington. Who saw that coming? A couple picks by Tom Brady. It is very difficult to repeat in this league. But what's going to motivate Patrick Mahomes? And you know what? We know what motivated the defense probably to some extent, just hearing how bad they were, whether they flip on the radio, TV, the national. I don't even know how they watched NFL Network, ESPN, the defense, because they were getting crushed regardless. They have totally flipped it from the 32nd worst defense first half of the season. They're at 15th right now. And that's all you can sign up for. Give me a top 20 defense. They're actually playing better than that now. Last four games, giving up 12.6 points per game. We'll get to the defense here in a minute. But one thing they're doing is adjusting. And as I'm watching Monday Night Football here with the Rams and 49ers, Cooper Kupp, be honest with you, it's a guy mocked to the Chiefs back in 2017. Little-known receiver from Eastern Washington. Pretty good player, I think. Leads the NFL in receptions at this point. Tyreek Hill actually leads it. Excuse me, he's got 75. Cooper Kupp, I don't know if Cooper Kupp's got a pass yet, but he was one reception behind Tyreek Hill. Remember how he's saying you got to throw the ball to Tyreek Hill? Well, they are. He came in to the game number two in the league in targets. Kelsey was eighth. Now he sits there number one in receptions. Tyreek Hill does. Travis Kelsey, number five. By the way, Patrick Mahomes is back to leading the NFL in yardage, number two in touchdowns. But Tyreek Hill, because you've noticed, it's not just the 80-yard touchdowns from him anymore. It's the intermediate stuff. It's becoming that all-around receiver and really being that weapon for Patrick Mahomes trying to break this cover too. This is Tyreek Hill and trying to adjust to the short game.
It's hard, man, especially for me, man, because I'm used to going 80 every play, you know. So, man, I just, you know, Coach Reed, he got to just keep me calm on the sideline, you know, because I'm a head case, man. I'm used to going, like I said, used to going down the field, and now guys got me running 12-yard ends, and that's not something I'm used to, so. We're all adjusting our games, you know. So that's why we in the NFL, you know.
It's a great attitude. He's adjusting his game. He's a speedster. He's a vertical threat. He's the nine route guy. Now he's into a different situation because the team needs him to do that. And how's he doing? Leading the NFL in receptions. Pretty good stuff from Tyreek Hill. Matter of fact, earlier Patrick Mahomes on the drive commented about Tyreek Hill and some of the adjustments he's made.
I mean, honestly, there's not one guy in this league that gets as much attention as that guy does. I mean, he's always got two dudes on him. He's never in one-on-one situations. Even in zone coverages, they're playing the zone, rotating over towards him. He gets more attention than anyone in this league, and he's had to learn how to get himself open even when he's getting double covered. Whenever he does get single covered, it seems like he makes a play every single time. So he's grown, and he's been growing in route running these last few years. And you're seeing it this year. Whenever they're making sure that he's not able to get over the top. He's running routes underneath, making plays, and really having a great season for himself.
That's what he's doing. That's the definition of a team. That's what a team is: making adjustments, doing the small things. Andy Reid was talking about Travis Kelce, you know, in the middle there doing the dirty work for the team. He was a big star last night for the Kansas City Chiefs. That passing game. Darrell Williams did something that no running back's ever done for the Kansas City Chiefs. 9 catches, 101 yards, including a freakish 38-yard reception where he looked like an elite wide receiver making the catch right over Jonathan Abram. It was incredible watching what Darrell the Barrel did. Now, they didn't run the ball as well as you thought they might have. The Raiders were 28th against the run. That was the deficient part of what the Raiders were, but it didn't matter. They were number 5 against the pass, and the Chiefs said, all right, we'll just pass it. The Chiefs are finally taking what the defense will give them, and I like that. just like the Giants game, there's only 107 yards rushing. Thought they could have ran for more, but take what teams are willing to give you. And for the first time all year, I felt like the Chiefs were the aggressor. Like even that Cleveland Browns game, they were playing from behind, playing from behind. And it seems to me that other teams are doing what they want against the Chiefs. But you haven't really seen this paradigm shift where the Kansas City Chiefs kind of turn things back on other players, make them make adjustments. Like you do your offense and you let the other team dictate and do what they could do to try to stop you. Like I've seen a lot of the Chiefs as far as this season, just adapting to what the other team's doing instead of the other team adapting to the Chiefs. Last night was a clear case of the Raiders adapting to what the Kansas City Chiefs were doing. We'll talk about this. We'll talk about the defense. We'll talk to Nate Taylor, who's going to be joining us here from the airport, about Las Vegas and all those Chiefs fans that were out there. Talk to Nate Taylor next on the Nate Taylor Show.
You're listening to the Nate Taylor Show, Monday nights at 7 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Defensively, I thought we really came out with a great game plan, and the guys executed very well. Legarius, I mean, his tackling was all part of that. Jerron Reed was around the quarterback all night. I mean, you know, everybody had a piece of this. So I thought the defense really played well.
Andy Reid after the game, 14 pressures by the Chiefs. Chris Jones with 5. They were all over the place. Welcome back to the Nate Taylor Show. I'm Jay Binkley, and joining us now, Nate Taylor of the Nate Taylor Show from the airport. Good evening, Nate.
Hello. Good evening. Thanks for hanging in there with me, and obviously I appreciate everyone listening. It's nice to be back home. The plane in Minneapolis didn't really arrive on time, so that's why I'm late. But
no way.
But what a moment for Chiefs fans. I think this is the first time, Jay, and I'm sure you hit on it, but this is really the first time since the aftermath of Week 1 that I think Chiefs fans can feel really, really good about their team. And so it was cool to be both in Las Vegas and Minneapolis and see just a ton of Chiefs fans who got to go on their first voyage to Las Vegas and see their team dominate in a fashion that really we haven't seen all year.
Is it safe to say that's the number one destination for Chiefs fans planning a road trip? Or is there maybe Nashville? Does it top it, or does Vegas just take the cake?
No, that's a good question. I think Nashville is definitely up there just because it has a lot to offer outside of, you know, Nissan Stadium. I would also say that, you know, we're about a month away from the Chiefs playing the Chargers in Los Angeles on, I believe, December 16th on a Thursday night game. And so, depending on how the weather is here, you can go to L.A. for a few days, maybe stretch it to the weekend and see if the Chiefs can obviously get another divisional road win. But I think this year and in future seasons, it's going to be a true sense of maybe the Chiefs can create this Arrowhead West where you go to Las Vegas and your crowd is – your fan base is so loud that it draws the Raiders offsides on a critical third down to start the game.
Unreal.
And maybe you go to L.A. and you do something similar. And look, the Chiefs have had great success against the Chargers over the last few years, obviously with Patrick Mahomes. So, yeah, there's, you know, it won't quite be the same in Denver because that's a fan base that's obviously been entrenched for a long time. They have their own championship history. But I think there is a real sense that, man, you know, when I go to Las Vegas next season, the Chiefs fans will be even more emboldened to go. I think everybody had a fun time. Shout out to a couple buddies of mine, Clint, and his cousin Neil, who made the trip and who had some pretty good seats, and they were actually pretty close to Darrell Williams' touchdown reception late last night. But we'll see how much this translates to L.A., but you might be right, Jay. Las Vegas might be the one where everybody circles their calendar, no matter where it is in the schedule that they want to show up and see their team play on the road.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun to see. And in L.A., I'm not sure they even like the Chargers. They like the Rams more. I've always liked the Chargers to kind of rent that apartment above your mom's garage. Like, I've always felt that about the Chargers. And I will say that SoFi cost $5 billion to build. Allegiant was $1.9 billion, so it's significantly different. I get it's more expensive to build in L.A. than Vegas, but, man, is that going to be a beautiful place? What about this defense, Nate? We've talked a lot about Patrick Mahomes and, you know, kind of quieting the doubters. He told Carrington today he kind of hears the noise from time to time. You got to block that stuff out. It's tough, too, at times. But speaking of hearing the noise, this defense has given up third downs three of the last 21 to the Packers and the Raiders. The Raiders 1 for 9. Only 9 yards of offense the Raiders had on third down. We're not used to that here in Kansas City.
Yeah, and it's a great stat, and it's really remarkable how things can really change in an NFL season, right? For better or for worse. In this case, for the Chiefs, it couldn't get really any worse once the calendar flipped from September to October. But now that we're in the middle of November, this seems sustainable. This seems legitimate. I mean, the Chiefs defense has performed in a manner where you have to respect them now. And something that I noticed late last night when I was rewatching the game and sort of charting what my next story was going to be, and I think it's going to be on the defensive side of the football, of course, is that not only are they doing better on third downs, as you mentioned, Jay, not only are they starting to take the ball away, you know, shout out to Daniel Sorensen. He didn't mess up an opportunity in front of him. You know, Rashad Fenton had probably the play of the game on defense with that peanut punch. But lastly, in this three-game winning streak, and you could say, hey, you could poke holes in it if you want. Hey, the Giants didn't have Saquon Barkley. Hey, the Packers didn't have Aaron Rodgers. Hey, you know, the Raiders have clearly gone through a lot in terms of who's been in their locker room and who no longer is in their locker room. That all being said, they have gone 3 straight games, and if you look at any skill position player on either of those teams, no one has eclipsed the 100-yard mark. And I find that to be very encouraging because now it seems like Steve Spagnuolo has his best 11, 12, 13 players that he can rotate with, and the Chiefs defense can actually take things away. And most specifically last night, it was Darren Waller facing multiple coverages, multiple guys who could cover him effectively, and Derek Carr having to throw the football elsewhere. If the Chiefs can do that moving forward, whether it's Davante Adams with obviously Jordan Love at quarterback, you know, Darren Waller, who's created problems for the last 2 years, if they can start to take away one of the opposing offense's best weapons, then all of a sudden this defense will be not only legitimate, but actually can be complementary towards the team, maybe reaching its peak at the exact right moment, which is right around Thanksgiving, as you get through December, secure the division, and all of a sudden now this defense feels like, hey, they've already gone through the worst part of the stretch. They're collectively playing better. Steve Spagnuolo can get more done. And then, hey, if they're in a playoff scenario, they can feel confident that whoever they target as the number one guy, they won't feel like that person, whether it's a receiver, tight end, running back, won't go for over 100 yards, won't sort of wreck the game for them.
All right, so Chris Jones' experiment, we've seen it the inside, the outside. He started turning more to the inside. Nate, he did start out on end yesterday, was working out there, started out there. But the snap counts, 28 inside, 14 on the outside. Excuse me, 18 and 14 was a split, 18 inside, 14 outside. So the Melvin Ingram, I was thinking maybe because he's so good against the Raiders, career high in sacks, quarterback hits, and forced fumbles against that, he would be more of a fixture on the defense, and you'd see a lot more Chris Jones inside. But just kind of what do you feel about the defensive line now with Melvin Ingram, who, by the way, I think gave Jaron Reed that sack because he took a double team. Yes. When Reed took one guy, Ingram was instrumental in that. And the Chris Jones outside to inside, are they just playing around now and just trying to find that fit?
Yeah, and that's something that I'll ask Steve Spagnuolo on Thursday when we get him. But I do get the sense that this is somewhat matchup dependent. And look, the Raiders have shuffled their offensive line throughout the regular season. Alex Leatherwood started at tackle, now he's at guard. And so, hey, if you have your full rotation of pass rushers available to you, Steve Spagnuolo, then he felt it was comfortable at least saying, hey, we're going to obviously move you around. We're going to make the offensive line have to think, you know, whenever they're lining up to understand who their assignment is. And then I sort of asked this to Spagnuolo last week, and he gave an answer that I wasn't expecting, which is what I asked him was, hey, I've noticed that Frank Clark is doing more stunts now, right? They're doing more twists. They're doing more games. And Steve said, hey, they know the plays, but if they sort of feel something in the moment, they have freedom to sort of do that. So I wonder in terms of Chris Jones, if he feels comfortable on the outside, hey, if I feel like I'm getting a good bull rush, if I'm getting a good push, if I know I'm near the quarterback consistently on these first couple of snaps that they put me at the defensive end, then I wonder if he's comfortable telling, hey, let me stay out here. And then the coaching staff sort of believing the player, trusting the player, and say, hey, if you can do it, go get the production. It's a big lift that Jaren Reed took the one-on-one to his advantage and was productive in them. You can say the same with Derek Nnadi, who I just think has been underrated all year, been one of those more stabilizing guys, and he gets a sack last night. So now you're starting to see, you know, one guy's success leads to another, and everybody knows in the NFL, even with someone as good as Derek Carr, it can't just be one pass rusher. It can't just be coming from the outside. It can't just be coming from the inside. It's got to be a whole mix. And if Chris Jones feels like, hey, I can beat this tackle today, and next week it's more in the guard and the center, then maybe Steve Spagnuolo says, as long as everybody stays healthy, as long as everybody else is productive, I'll let you kind of flow in the rhythm that you feel comfortable with.
Listen to the Nate Taylor Show. Nate Taylor is joining us. Which airport are you at, Nate? You in Minnesota or are you back in Kansas City?
I am back in Kansas City.
Okay.
Thankfully, I am home.
Okay. Can you hold on one more segment? Because it's going to be asked Nate.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
So
the only thing was I just wanted to get home. You know.
Okay. Yeah, I don't blame you.
It's one of those travel days where it's like, well, I can't stay in Las Vegas, which boo-hoo, I might as well get home. So I would love to hear people's questions and provide as much context and insight as I can.
Absolutely. Listen to the Nate Taylor Show. Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Hashtag Ask Nate. 913-576-7610. A question about the Kansas City Chiefs or the AFC in general. We'll take a look at the AFC picture and what the statement the Chiefs made yesterday against the Las Vegas Raiders. We discuss that next.
You're listening to the Nate Taylor Show, Monday nights at 7 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the Nate Taylor Show. Nate's joining us from the airport, making his way back from Vegas. The 49ers up 14-0 on Odell Beckham and the Rams. By the way, Cooper Kupp, 3 catches, so he retakes the NFL reception lead. It was Tyreek Hill. Sole possession of the most receptions in the NFL. Now it's Cooper Kupp. And joining us now, Nate Taylor, still from the airport. Nate, what kind of message did that send last night to the rest of the league that the Kansas City Chiefs weren't ready to throw the towel in yet?
Look, you better get turnovers against this team if they stay relatively healthy, which they are. I thought one of the biggest signs in the game last night, Jay, was either the first or second reception from Travis Kelce. He gets up and starts doing the little wiggle, doing a little dance. It's like, hadn't really seen that in the last 3 or so weeks since he took that sort of hard hit against the Buffalo Bills. But, yeah, if Patrick Mahomes is excellent, if he operates within the pocket, and then that leads to deep completions, and that leads to just banana-type highlights that no one else can produce, then yeah, the rest of the AFC is kind of in trouble where you're like, hey, win your division if you're the Bills or the Patriots. You know, that'll be a nice battle in the East. Baltimore still has a chance to sort of race out in the North, but you might want to win your division now because of the Chiefs are the team that we just saw. If they, as I mentioned earlier, start reaching their peak, then you want to win your division so that you don't have to play them perhaps in Arrowhead to start the postseason. And maybe that gives you a chance to sort of catch them late in a playoff run of your own. But as long as Mahomes stays healthy, as long as the coaching staff continues to moderately adjust their play calling, moderately adjust how they want to attack certain teams, then, yeah, the rest of the AFC is kind of put back on notice. And they're going to have to play their best to beat the Chiefs, which is what was required in September. And I don't want fans to forget that. Yes, the Chiefs had their own struggles with turnovers. Their defense was not very good at the time. But you still had to go get 35. You still had to not turn over the football. You still had to be, you know, aware of who your opponent was and be aggressive, like obviously Brendan Staley did with the Chargers and going for it on fourth down. I think all those sort of things come back into play if the Chiefs are a team that is a legitimate contender again. If they win the AFC West again, out there in first place, and you know they're going to be a factor in January.
You know, and this is the money time. Second half of the season, this is where, you know, the good teams, because I know we have a lot of inconsistencies with a lot of these top teams. Who actually wants to be the king of the hill in the AFC? And we're not really seeing anybody wanting to really hold on to that that throne. And this is the money time, though, because Chiefs, you think about this division, Nate, they're 1-1 in the AFC West now. They're 32-6 since 2015 against this division. And all of a sudden, for the next seven games, you're playing the division.
Yeah, and you're playing a team in Denver that continues to be somewhat perplexing, but I think the Chiefs have more talent than Denver's roster if you just stack it top to bottom. Look, the Chargers, this is the price of being good early, right? You're not surprised with anybody. The coaching staff, yes, it's a new group, but hey, now you put things on tape for 10 weeks. The Chiefs are starting to study that, and they're starting to adjust to you. The Chiefs will be highly motivated, I'm sure, when they go to L.A. Next month. So in the AFC West, it's bizarre how, you know, especially here in Kansas City, and I tend to agree that, man, it's been kind of one of these wacko, bizarre seasons, and yet they're still 6-4, and they're leading the division, and this is the same record they had at around the same time in 2019 when they won the Super Bowl, of course. I'm not saying that's where this is necessarily heading. Obviously, you want to see more results in front of you that are positive for the Chiefs. But now I'm not necessarily concerned about, hey, the Chiefs can go up there to L.A. and win. The Chiefs can, you know, win both games in Denver. And, yes, Derek Carr and the Raiders have to return to Kansas City. But when it's cold, ladies and gentlemen, the statistics do not favor Derek Carr, and it does not favor the Raiders. And we just saw that one team clearly outperformed the other in the first matchup.
Nate, we have about 2 minutes left. Here's a question from the 913. Is Shane Buechel, does he need to get credit for showing whatever it was to Patrick Mahomes to get his swagger back? He mentioned that after the game.
Hey, bring him to the podium on Wednesday. Let's do it. I mean, and give credit to Patrick Mahomes, right? As I wrote in The Athletic last night, and I'm sure people read it today, it's always nice when you have a clear contrast. Like, Patrick Mahomes is the greatest player in franchise history. And the man who got to him motivationally and to the heart and core as to what he needed to hear to get him going was the third-string undrafted rookie quarterback who's on the practice squad. And Shane Buechel is a fun guy to talk to. We talked to him a lot during the preseason and training camp. The clip, I put it in the story, it's of a 2014 high school championship team in the Michigan-Detroit area. And so, look, if the Chiefs have their swagger back, you need these small little moments, right? You need Dan Sorensen, you know, doing his heroic thing in the divisional round. You need Sammy Watkins breaking down Richard Sherman on a Hall of Famer in a big moment. You might need Mike Pinnell to come in and sort of save the NFL's worst run defense for a championship contender at the time. And if this season ends positively, Shane Buechel has this moment where no one saw it, but at least the franchise quarterback revealed it to everyone. Hey, in the quarterback room, that guy knew what I needed to hear, and look what it did for me.
Now you see why the Chiefs protect him every single week when they protect practice squad players. Right there's your answer. His name is Shane Buechel. Nate came back from Vegas. He's at the airport now. Glad you're home safely, Nate. We'll see you next week. All right, my friend?
Same to you, buddy. Same to you. Looking forward to seeing you soon. Thanks again.
There's Nate Taylor right there. We'll podcast this show as well. Huge thanks to Nick Price for producing the show. You know what's next? Say it with me. You've been holding these takes. Red Reaction with Dusty Likens and
Nick Price.
Next.